Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, our good buddy. He was kind enough to take time out of his busy, busy day. Okay, covering the Jets. You know, he still got a stupid Hall of Fame ballot and all of that. Our good buddy, stupid, the great Brian Costello. Hi, Bri.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
Well, we're doing better than David Harris, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to that overthecap.com website to see what's the deal here. And according to them, correct me if I'm wrong, the Jets didn't save anything by cutting David Harris today as compared to 2 months ago. So
no.
Why did they decide to do it now? Obviously, they've annoyed the agent. The agent screwed up in his own right. He should have put a roster bonus in there. But why didn't the Jets do right by Harris and cut him earlier?
That's a great question. And they don't really have any answer for that, really. Talking to Bowles or McCagnan yesterday, they didn't. You know, McCagnan kept saying there's not an ideal time to do this. Well, there is an ideal time to do this. It's called February, you know, and that's when most teams cut the veterans that they're going to cut for salary cap reasons and clear space for free agency. The Jets, for some reason, waited. And, you know, the only explanation is that Woody Johnson woke up recently and decided he needed to save some money. If they're going to be bad, why are we spending money on these guys? And went to McCagnan and said, we need to do something here. So they approached David Harris in the last week about taking a pay cut, and he was not amenable to it. And something happened yesterday where the talks broke down, and somebody must have said, all right, let's just break this off right now. There's no reason to continue having him on the team. But, I mean, he went through practice yesterday. He was in the locker room when the media was in there, and it was like he was 10 minutes later when it came out that he was cut.
Mm. You really get the feeling that Bowles had no idea this was coming down and really was obviously very upset by it. Is that fair to say, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. No idea might be a little strong. I'm sure Bowles knew that they were approaching Harris about a pay cut, but since the timing that I just described, now Bowles is on the field coaching
right,
practice.
Right,
so
right.
I have a feeling there was conversations going on between McCagnan and the agent during practice, and then practice ends and McCagnan probably told Bowles, like, all right, well, we got to cut David Harris. He was supposed to talk to us yesterday at 2:05. It was 45 minutes late, his press conference, which is not usual for him. So I think there was some talking about what messaging they wanted to get out. And even when he was trying to play, though, it's an organizational decision line.
Right,
you could
right.
tell he was annoyed by the decision and not on board with it.
Mm.
It seems like, and I think Joe hit on this before, that Mike McCagnan may be here for a couple of years. You know, he may have a chance
yeah.
to rebuild a mess that he partially created. He created a lot of this mess when he went on the spree a couple of years ago that I admit both Joe and I loved. We loved his spending spree. We thought he was great. Well, it hasn't exactly worked out. On the other side, Todd Bowles is going to have a 2-win season, maybe
yep.
a 3-win season. We'll see. That's got to cause a lot of, you know, conflicts of interest when talking about the 2016-2017 Jet football season, no?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I mean, Bowles is the one who's in the worst position here of anybody. He's going to answer for the season. And, you know, that's pretty clear right now. He's a dead coach walking going into this year. You know, Woody made those comments about a month ago saying, oh, we won't measure with wins and losses, but progress. Like, how are you going to measure progress with this season? You know, unless Christian Hackenberg
right,
comes
right.
out and lights the world on fire, I don't understand how you're going to see major progress with the way the roster is constructed. You do have to think, with the way Mike McCagnan is operating this offseason, he has been given some assurances about his future, because it would be crazy for a GM to be doing this if it wasn't. That being said, assurances during the offseason don't always hold up in December. You know, we know the Eric Mangini story of, well, you know, you're safe. No matter what happens with Brett Favre, you're safe. He was gone. John Idzik in 2014, I think he thought he was safe. Mm. They could lose the game that season. He was going to get rid of Rex, bring in his own coach. Then there were planes flying over the building in November. So there's a lot of Jets fans right now who are like, all right, well, I'm okay with this. We'll lose the season. We'll get a number one pick. I'm curious to see what they're like at 0-6 in October if they're as patient.
Well, I'll tell you one thing to me, and Evan and I know we're on the same page with this. There is no way in my mind that Josh McCown is the quarterback of this team. It's a joke. You have got to start either Petty or Hackenberg. There's no reason otherwise. I mean, there really isn't. Do you agree with this, Brian, or no?
They're not close, Joe. I mean, Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Why does it matter?
Function. They cannot function as an NFL quarterback. Josh McCown can. I don't think they believe.
Why is Bryce Petty not close? We saw Bryce Petty play 5 times. He didn't look brutal. I mean, come on.
He looked pretty brutal, Joe. If you go back and watch those games, he was pretty brutal. San Francisco, he made some throws. I mean, New England.
They wouldn't let him do anything. The first game against the Rams, they wouldn't even let a guy throw the ball. They wouldn't let him throw the ball. Come on.
New England. I mean, New England, he'd never played a game in the rain before.
Okay, fine. But they had no chance.
He couldn't get the ball out of his hand. You can't put those out there and look at the other 52 guys
in the
room.
Makes no sense for Josh McCown to play unless it's a dire emergency. No.
He's not going to hurt the process of getting the number one pick. It's not like Josh McCown's going to go out there and light the world up.
We got to see this kid, Hacker.
See him, but I don't think
when game 10. I mean, well, come on.
You don't need to see him for 16 games. You'll know what Christian Hackenberg is if they play 8 games, 9 games.
But it gets me very ticked off that everybody has made a decision. And it's probably going to be terrible. Probably because it's the Jets. Why would it be anything else? But
yeah.
It's ridiculous that the decision seems to have been made on this guy before he's even taken a snap in a real game.
I agree with you on that. But watching these OTAs, Joe, he's not ready. If there was a game, and maybe in training camp he's going to come back and he'll progress, but I'm curious to hear your opinion after you watch the preseason games. I just don't think he's ready to be an NFL quarterback.
But, Brian, you're missing the point. The opinion is going to be he stinks and he's awful. But that's the point of this whole season.
Of course.
I get that, but Josh McCown stinks in his office.
Yeah, but what is it?
Josh McCown is not going to hurt your prospects of getting the number one pick.
But it's still ridiculous. When you got this kid here that you drafted with the second pick in the draft, that everybody said
second round.
And you know, everybody loved it when Bill O'Brien coached Penn State. Oh, there was guys. I think it was, what's his name? Mel Kiper actually said, this kid's going to be the first pick in the draft someday.
Yeah.
Right? Did he say that?
Yep.
Well, I got to see the kid play at some point. I mean,
they're
going
to let him play. But I don't think he needs to play September 10th.
Why not?
I just don't think you can put him out there, Joe. I just don't think he can function right now as an NFL starting quarterback.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
There it is.
If you're telling me, look, guys, Josh McCown stinks. You all know that. It's not going to make a difference in getting the number one pick. Then how far off is Hackenberg if there isn't going to be a difference? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's pretty far off.
But you get my logic here, my crazy logic? If you're telling me it's not going to make a difference, then it doesn't make a difference.
Right. Then you play Hackenberg. We could lose with Hackenberg. We could lose with McCown. At least I could see Hackenberg. That's my, as a Jet fan, I mean, give me something this year. Let me see this kid.
I'm not saying you won't, but I think right now, if you were at the OTA yesterday, right, and watched it, you would say McCown's got to play. These other two guys cannot play right now.
They just can't. Between the two of them, forget McCown, between the two of them, who's closer?
I think Hackenberg is closer.
Wow,
really?
Petty's that bad?
Yeah. Really?
Petty looks really bad to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. You think Hackenberg is closer?
I think there's more of a ceiling with Hackenberg. Like, you see it sometimes, and I'm like, all right, he, you can see if he's making some nice throws, and then there's trouble. I mean, the other problem, to be honest, with watching yesterday, their offensive line looked putrid yesterday, and this is an OTA. There's no pads, right? But these quarterbacks had somebody in their face. I mean, Lorenzo Maldon looked like Lawrence Taylor yesterday. Mm. And maybe Maldon's gotten better, give him credit, but it was unbelievable. These guys had something on their face every time they dropped back the pass.
I what do you think the over? Talking to the great Brian Costello of the New York Post and WFAN as well, and I'm sure many other things. But what is the over under in you? And what's the percentage that by the beginning of the 2019 season there is an entire new regime in here? McCagnan's gone, Bowles is gone, everybody's gone. Well, by 2019, because I think that's what it's going to be. Well, give me a percentage on what you think that is.
75%.
There you go.
Yeah. I think Bowles is definitely gone. Not sure about. I just don't know how patient Woody will be with McCagnan. And the other element here is Woody in London. You know, do they fit? Right. Does
is
he
Woody,
ship over
way,
London?
Woody, can I ask a question? Is Woody already the ambassador to London?
No, he's not.
I was going to say, because it's not been done yet. Okay,
so he's
good.
Still the owner.
I see. Okay. Because yeah, I was going to say something about that, too.
Has he been nominated for it yet, or is it just hasn't happened?
It just hasn't, and nothing's happened yet. And
right.
Heard, so he hasn't even been just, nominated for it?
No. There was a mention in January. I think Trump mentioned it once, but
it
nothing official has been
right.
done. So. You know, that's the question, too. Is he in charge in 2019? We know he's not a patient guy, and he's preaching patience right now. I'm curious how long that lasts. I don't know Christopher that well, his brother.
You know what's going to happen, though. You know, seriously, you know, and I say this to Evan, and this would be so jet-like. We all expect this horrific 2-14 season. How could it not be, right?
Yeah.
But they will win like 6 or 7 games. I mean, right, and you can see this. Just so they don't get the top draft picks. That would be so – I mean, that is the Jets personified.
That is, but I can't see how they win that many games right now.
I don't see it. They're that bad.
All right.
I mean,
2013 – but they are the Jets.
2013 was kind of like that. Where you remember that season, Geno's rookie year?
Yeah. They went 8-8 that year.
And they went 8-8, and it was amazing. They got outscored by like 90 points, but somehow went 8-8.
They also had a coach that year that this coach, that coach then looks like Lombardi next to the coach now. Let's also look at that situation, right or wrong.
Certainly Rex has looked better in the rearview mirror now that that's
so,
a few years of balls.
Yeah. Right now, we'll ask you this question every couple of weeks because things can change. As you finish these OTAs and these cuts are made, what are they winning? I mean, are they going to win five games, 3 games?
The over-under is 5? Is that what
five
it is?
And a half.
I'd take the under. Let's put it that way. I'll take the under. Yeah.
So be specific. 3-13? 2-14? I'll go 1-15?
Right now, I feel like 2-14.
How many wins would they have for Bowles to come back?
Six? Probably 6, I would think, yeah.
Oh, so he's dead. I mean, you'd have to triple your prediction.
I'm not crying over that.
The other problem, too, is I think how this season ends is going to be big for Bowles. Like, I thought this a while ago. Now it's kind of all moot. But I was like, if their schedule kind of breaks the right way, this guy can win 3 games in December, and Hackenberg does some things, and maybe there's some momentum going the offseason. You know, kind of like 2013 at Rex. But now they play at Denver, at New Orleans, at New England. Yeah, I mean, they're not going
to
win either.
There is a part of me, I have to admit, that kind of feels bad for Todd Bowles.
Well,
I admit it. I kind of feel bad.
I'm sure he's the greatest man that ever was.
Well, let's not.
Here's the thing about with Bowles. It's sort of like how Joe feels about Geno. I don't think. I know what kind of coach he is because I don't think there was a good year, there was a bad year, and I thought this year would be the year we kind of see which way it went. You're not going to be able to judge him off this year. I know you disagree, Joe.
On a lot of levels.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? I got to defend that. Here's why. Because he's been a bad coach for this team. That doesn't mean with his second coaching job,
with
a better roster, that he could put it all together and be a good head coach.
Well, he probably
will.
I mean, the Jets will get rid of him, and he'll become Belichick. I mean, why would that surprise
you?
It didn't happen
for Mangini, though.
No, it certainly did not.
No.
But I will say this, though, Brian. The one reason I say that they could win, let's say, 6 games, is because I think there is a possibility that they have a decent defense. I mean, if the two kids in the secondary turn out to be the real deal, because I think both of them have to start. I mean, Adams may has to start. Both of them have to start. If the two kids in the secondary turn out to be for real, if Sheldon Richardson keeps his head on straight and plays like he's capable of, and Wilkerson has a year like he had 2 years ago, which he better, you know, the continued development of Leonard Williams, Darren Lee stops fighting with his girlfriend and actually, you know, plays like a number one draft pick at linebacker. You mentioned Walden maybe gets better. They might actually have a somewhat decent defense. Somewhat.
I think they score points.
Well, I'm just saying. But, I mean, they could have a good enough defense to at least keep them in games and maybe be able to win a game here and there that we don't see them winning. Do you understand what I mean?
I understand. I think cornerback is still a concern. You know, Claiborne, if he's healthy, is good. He can never stay healthy.
Right, right.
The other side, you have Buster Screen.
Kid Burris.
Justin Burris moves out there when they're in a nickel. You know, I'm not sold on him yet. So the problem for those guys up front getting to the quarterback is, you know, if the quarterback can throw the ball, you know, in 2 seconds every time, no one's getting to the quarterback. And that's been the problem.
Right,
that was the problem last year.
So I'm curious
to see. And maybe Adams and May can make a difference at safety. That's a lot to ask for rookies, though. They're definitely going to start this year. I just don't know what you expect from rookies back there immediately.
Brian,
great
work. And who's running the defense now with David Harris gone? I mean, I think a lot of Jets fans are like, David Harris is – skills slipped. He wasn't great at covering running back.
My feeling is, you know, the guy who I think is going to wind up running the defense? The kid.
Who?
Adams.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I mean,
if he's that, all you hear about this guy, to me, if he's the real deal, he's going to be the guy running the defense.
Yeah, but you kind of need someone at linebacker.
No, I understand.
I mean, he's going to be the guy in the secondary. I think he replaces Gilchrist in that role in the secondary. But in terms of that, you know, calling the defense and kind of setting the front up, that's hard for a safety to do. I just, Harris was great at that, and Harris was just so well respected, and they're going to miss his leadership.
Yeah, he's an all time. You could put certainly a case for David Harris going to the Ring of Honor. I'll say that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he will be someday.
Yep.
I don't know about that.
Well,
Ring of Honor,
make a case.
He was
number two all time leading tackler.
What does that mean? Tackles? Oh, that's a big stat now. That's the stat that defines a player.
You can make a case. You can make a case. You can make a case.
Very nice player. Ring of Honor to me. That's a little too much. Brian, great talking.
Brian, it's always a pleasure.
Guys.
First of many. Brian, can't wait. Can't you wait for like week four when they're like 0-4? You know,
I'm worried
that when they beat Buffalo and then everybody's like, oh, yeah, oh, look out.
It's a playoff team. Man.
They beat Buffalo.
I'm worried that Ernie's going to lose my number by Halloween.
Nah, bro, you're going to be like a staple of the show. we're going to actually like maybe Halloween. We'll actually bring you in for that.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
In costume.
We'll have you and Ira come in as guests.
Oh, imagine that. A little general roundtable. And Manish Mehta, special guest as well.
Ira, I don't know if you noticed or not, Brian, but Ira's going out to lunch next week with Bulls. I don't know if you know that.
Did he get a coaching position?
He's trying to get one.
And I is paying for the lunch.
You know,
he's trying,
of course. He's trying to get one. Come on, you know that.
Ira might be a wide receiver before this is all said and done.
Oh, my God.
They need some players.
Indeed. Thank you, Brian.
The pain.
All right, guys.
Brian Costello, double agent, New York Post, WFAN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.